Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany comes from our Gospel reading of Luke. But Jesus rebuked the demon, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." Thus far the text. Just last week, Jesus runs out of Nazareth. Well, not really runs. Jesus doesn't have to run from anyone. Instead, he just kind of sort of calmly strolls through the midst of a crowd that wanted to throw him off a cliff. His time had not yet come. Just like at the wedding in Cana. So he makes his way down to Capernaum, up near the Sea of Galilee, and it's there that he continues to do what he was sent to do. He continues to do what seemed to have almost gotten him killed in Nazareth. He continues to do what he will always do, all the way up to the point when it is his time. And we think that means miracles. We get so caught up in the miracles of Jesus, don't we? And why not? They're flashy and they're exciting, like a Las Vegas show at Circus Circus. And the people of the day, they seem to get caught up in the miracles as well. They want to see Jesus do the impossible, and who wouldn't? And sometimes he obliges. Most often when he does the healing sort of thing. For our Lord isn't just a stage magician who gets paid to do parlor tricks. He heals those who are sick because sickness is of sin. And he casts out demons because the demons are of a fallen creation that he has come to make new. And occasionally he even raises the dead because death is the ultimate wage of sin. This is what Jesus does because Jesus comes with authority, not just with power. And there is a difference between the two. And it's important that we know that. But even all of this miracle man stuff doesn't truly speak to who Jesus is. If the miracles were the final destination, then Jesus would only be about power. But like we said, he's not just about power. Power's the easy part. Power's the stuff that you can take by force. And it doesn't matter if you're right or wrong, of good or of evil. Anyone can wield power. That's how the demons work. They exercise their power over us and over the people in our text. That's how the Pharisees worked as well, and people like Herod and Pontius Pilate. Power is real easy for us to understand, and it's even easier for us to throw around. But it rarely accomplishes anything of substance. And so when Jesus comes, he comes with authority, and he exercises that authority over the demons and over us too. And that's what's so astonishing. That's what's so amazing and confusing and mind-boggling. And again, we should take notice of this, of our natural inclination, of the way that we desire to see Jesus working in our lives. We understand power, and so we want to see a Jesus of power. Miracles worked and healings done and bread and fish for days and water into wine. We want to see our bank accounts grow and our debts dwindle. We want to see COVID magically disappear, and we're angry when it doesn't. We want wars to cease and famine to be gone and earthquakes quieted and fires never to happen. We want a God. We want a Jesus of power. And when we don't get that Jesus, we're more than just a little bit frustrated. And that makes sense. Because how frustrated do we get when the power that we wield in our own lives can't seem to accomplish what we hope that it would? How frustrated do we get when we realize that maybe, just maybe, our power isn't as powerful as we'd hoped, and perhaps we should just start going about things in a different way, maybe with authority as opposed to power? And then we turn to God, who seemingly has all the power in all the universe over all things, and we're just flabbergasted that he can't, or he seemingly doesn't, use his power to accomplish what we think he should. And perhaps we should take a moment to see who Jesus is all about, instead of assuming what and who he's all about. For even though Jesus does go about the towns and villages of Galilee and Judea, healing many and performing miracles, that's not his purpose. And Jesus says as much at the end of our text for today. The people, they want to keep Jesus from leaving, not because they appreciate his teaching and preaching in the synagogues, but because they want him to keep pumping out all of those miracles for them. But instead, Jesus tells them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. It's his proclamation of the good news that Jesus is all about. Miracles, they point to that, casting out demons too. But that's why Jesus so often refuses to perform miracles. When that's all the people want from him, then they're wanting the wrong thing. If all they want is his power, then he's going to even keep that power away from them. And maybe he does that for us too. How often have you prayed for his power to be made known and it isn't? Or at least it isn't in the way that we think it should be. Remember St. Paul, a thorn was found to be in his flesh. It was a terrible thing. What that thorn was, we'll never know, but it pained him so much that he pleaded with God on three different occasions that it would be taken from him, but God declared that his grace was sufficient for him and his power is made perfect in weakness. Power made perfect in weakness. That's a hard saying, but that's the way of our Lord. The demons, they only know God, only know Jesus in power. That's why they cower in fear when he steps in front of them. They know that this God of creation, now standing in human flesh in front of them, has the power to destroy. And that's why they address Jesus like they do. They call him the Holy One of God, and they call him the Son of God, but they never speak of him as Savior. They never speak of him as Christ, even though they know him to be the Christ. For the Christ is a concept outside of their understanding, and maybe it is for the sinner too. Who is the God that you know? Who is the Jesus that you know? Is he only one of power? If he is, then we can only cower in fear before him. Either that, well, we can try and calm our troubled minds with the hope that he doesn't exist. Or maybe we can just try and please him out of our own pitiful attempts at good works. But being terrified or angry at God, a God who only displays himself in power, that's the right thing to do. That's really the only thing you can do. But that isn't the God that we have. That isn't the Jesus that we have. And Luke, he says as much in our text for today. The people in the synagogues, they're astonished at Jesus' teaching, for his word possessed authority. And all they were ever used to was hearing about power, and power condemns. Power bears that sword and then points it at our throat. Power can only force and coerce good works and good deeds through fear and intimidation. The only reason I obey a man with power is because I'm afraid of him. I don't love him, and I certainly don't respect him, but I just cower in fear before him, and I'm terrified that his next move is going to bring me destruction. And maybe that's why we always buck against people in power, and maybe that's why we always buck against God too. And if we can just convince ourselves that God doesn't have the power that he does, then we can go about our lives however we want. But that's only going to last so long. Sooner or later, the hammer's going to come down, and then what? Then where are you going to find yourself? Except cowering in fear. But Jesus, he speaks a word of authority. And it's different than a word of power, although he does speak that too. But his word of power comes from the law. His word of power comes from his declaration that we must be perfect as he himself is perfect. His word of power is one that threatens judgment and wrath upon all of those who cannot keep the law up to the standard that he puts forth. Not the standard that we think is fair, but to the standard that the Lord of all life and creation and the universe declares right and good. That's why in his word of power we tremble in fear, just like the demons do. And for the demons, that's the only word that God has for them. It's one of power and might and judgment and wrath. That's why they're terrified. That's why the people in the synagogue, they're confused. Because that's all they're used to hearing. That's what we're used to hearing. That's why we're astonished when Jesus speaks. For he comes with a different word, specifically just for us. And it's not a word for the demons, because God did not become one of them. But he did take on our flesh, and he did become one of us. And in so doing, he brought another word that we might hear, so that we don't have to cower in fear before him. Jesus speaks with authority, which means that he speaks of the gospel. In power, he speaks the law to us, might and wrath and big and bold, scary words of condemnation, because the law accuses, but it never does comfort. That's why it's so astonishing to hear this word of authority, his word of the gospel, his word of forgiveness and life and salvation, his word of the cross. I know it's also very astonishing. Our Lord, he speaks a word to us that we never expect to hear. And we know that word shouldn't be for us. We understand that we don't deserve it. And we certainly haven't earned it. We know that the only thing that we should hear from our Lord is a word of power. So in the only way that we should address him, we think, is with the same type of words like the demons. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? We know who you are, the Holy One of God. But then Jesus speaks his word of authority over us, his word of the gospel that doesn't condemn but frees, and his word of life that doesn't kill, and his word of absolution that only forgives. And he doesn't tell us to be silent like he does the demons. He doesn't cast us out and cast us away, but instead he mercifully comes to each and every single one of us, and he lays his hand upon us, and he heals us of all of our sin, because that's why Jesus came, to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to us. And the good news of the kingdom of God is that we are forgiven in him, brought from death to life in him, declared free from guilt, clean and righteous in him. He does that for you today, and he will again next week and all the weeks to come. And it's because of this that we don't have to cower in fear before him and only see him as one with the power to destroy. Instead, we can know him not just by his power, but by his authority to forgive. Instead, we can know him as the Christ. Instead, we can know him as our Savior. In the name of Jesus.